Welcome to Distilled the Bourbon Podcast, where we drink bourbon and talk about it. I'm Brent. I'm here with my co-host, Brian and Chuck. Good to see you, fellas. Welcome back to the Turt.
Always good. Great place.
It's fall here in Kentucky. It's November the 3rd, I believe, as we record this. So great bourbon weather. It's just about the perfect time of year for me. There's football going on. We won't mention last week's football game for the benefit of our listeners. But we will mention bourbon, and we have three that we're going to test today. Before we get into that, fellas, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you, Brian, do you think barrel picks are getting better than what they used to be?
I believe they are. I think, like you alluded to before this podcast, I think back in the day they tried to push some barrels on people that maybe weren't as good. I think more and more stores realize that they need to get a quality barrel if they want to sell it and sell it quickly.
We've had a few good ones, haven't we, Chuck?
For sure. I really have not had bad experiences or even heard rumors of bad barrel picks. In fact, some that I've had lately have just been sensational. I'm willing to pay the extra money for a distiller's pick or for a good store pick, especially at a place like Brian's store where you can sample from your bar,
right?
And see if that is your cup of tea or not. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah. So we thought maybe today we'd have an episode just with three barrel picks to see if our trend continues. We've had some outstanding picks. That Green River was just spectacular. If you didn't hear us talk about that, go back a couple of episodes and pick that up. Today, we're going to try first Mattingly's, which I got from a Bourbon Limited Club delivery. You've heard me talk about Bourbon Limited before. We have, no connections with them other than I'm a member and I pay to get these bottles sent to me every couple of months. And they've been right on every time. I have not been disappointed by a single one. I don't think I've ever had Mattingly's, and I almost didn't have it today because the darn wax was so hard to get off there. I almost put myself in the hospital.
It was comical.
Trying to get it open. But we have some here, and let's try to hold that bottle up for the camera there. I'm not sure if you can see that label. There you go. Special made pick for the Bourbon Limited Club. This is 122 proof. So we're going to wake up and get things started pretty well. Guys, can you tell me anything about Jay Mattingly?
I believe they're all sourced bourbons.
Yes. So we actually did a barrel pick there. Heck, it was before COVID, I believe. It's a very unique experience. You go in, it's a very small, it's not distillery. It's just basically a room with a bunch of barrels, and you thieve from each barrel, and you help yourself to whatever you want. They have a couple Connexes outside, or travel trailers, if you will. And there's more barrels in there. So we had a great time, but I believe they're moving to Frankfurt now.
Moving to Frankfurt. Okay.
They've been in Georgetown.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it has a pleasant nose. Pretty standard for a bourbon.
No indication where they get their
MGP. Okay. And they were getting some from O.C. Tyler.
Okay.
So I'm assuming Green River now.
Yeah.
Well, not bad. First drink is always a little spicy.
Yeah, typically their stuff is high rye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. MGP has that 95.5 mash bill, and it's a lot of what Jay Mattingly does. Yeah, wore my palate up. That first sip was...
It was a little hot for you.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, we're in trouble today.
I'm a rye guy.
It's nice. I think I might lower the proof on it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I'm just going to lower the proof on it just a little bit right now.
I agree. I typically like rye, and I typically like, higher proof bourbons or rye. But
it was bottled in Georgetown.
Yeah, that's a little,
what you said?
A little hot for me.
Yeah.
And most of their bottles are north of $100. Our barrel pick, I think we sold for $110.
Yeah. Okay.
This is my first taste of it ever.
Now, was that a while ago, Brian? Do you have any Mattingly products in your store at this
time?
They're
all gone.
Okay.
Hey, I put just a little bit of water in there.
That opened it up?
I think it mellowed it a good deal.
Yeah.
It was coming in hot.
Yeah.
Even on the second sip. About that much. Just a little dollop. A little dollop of Daisy.
Get that open up the nosing of it.
Oh yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Now, I don't know that I would want to have an expensive barrel pick that is going to make a cocktail, but this would make a good cocktail, I believe.
Sure.
I mean, I had an interesting drink at a tapas bar over in Evansville. I think the name of the place is Entwined. I don't know if you've ever been there or not.
You did say a topless bar, did you not?
No, I said tapas bar.
Oh, I think you said
tapas. I did not go to a tapas bar. I knew what you meant. I had Dr. Jennifer Lyles with me. I'm not an idiot, and I wouldn't go to those places anyway.
Let alone have them mix a cocktail for you.
Yeah. Let alone
or have talk about it on a podcast.
You want to try a signature cocktail?
No.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, what'd you have?
So, I wish I could remember the name of it now because it just jumped out of my head because we were talking about a topless bar. Well, we went to Entwined, this tapas bar over in Evansville on Main Street. Great place.
Okay.
Great date place kind of thing. We went before the Styx concert. It was fantastic. Great wines, great, pretty good liquors. I talked to the bartender for a while, and he made me this, their take on an old fashioned, and they gave it some fancy name, but it's first thing on the list. And you'll know by the old fashioned names, but man, was it good. But it got a little sweet toward the end. You know how old fashions do.
It's a problem.
So I said, hey, can you, I think I want a Manhattan. Let me take a look at your bourbons and ryes. And I see that I saw they had Peerless there, and I said, oh, I see you have Peerless. He said, yeah. We talked a little bit about how much we like the rye and the bourbon's okay. And the double oaked is pretty good. And that sort of thing. He said, yeah, two guys, brought, Mr. Taylor and I said, Corky. Yeah. Yeah. Two guys. Yeah.
I bet I know who they are.
Were their names Joel and
Bill.
And Bill. Yeah. How did you know that? So I thought, yeah, that's kind of funny. So
these are some childhood friends of Corky. Yeah, exactly. And they're still kind of best friends.
And they're, I think they might be investors in Kentucky Peerless and that sort of thing. But
probably.
They all went out to eat dinner there. And so the bartender was, you know, had a good story to tell about Peerless. So I made a Manhattan over there with that. And oh man, was that good. That was a really good Manhattan. That has absolutely nothing to do with Jay Mattingly and this bourbon, other than I would like to try a Manhattan also made with this next to Kentucky Peerless Rye and see which one I like better. But that's pretty good. Not something I probably would reach for, you know, on an everyday kind of casual, I'd like to have a bourbon. This would certainly be a nice and toasty, high rye kind of product.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even with the water, it's still a little spicy for me. So not one that I would necessarily pick up.
Yeah. I would probably have it over rocks, and I wouldn't hesitate to make it out of a cocktail. I tend to kind of hesitate about, you know, using $100 liquors in a cocktail, although yeah. I'm sure the Peerless Rye makes a fantastic Manhattan.
Oh man, it's fantastic.
Depending on what kind of vermouth you're using.
He had a Carpana Antica up there. I didn't watch him make the cocktail, so I don't know if that's what he used or not. But speaking of Kentucky Peerless, we have one of their barrel picks. This was from the men's bourbon club here in Henderson. Let's see. Did either one of you go on this pick?
Yep.
We both did.
Yeah. There were eight of us, which is a lot for a barrel pick, but the Peerless people were just fantastic. Funny thing about this, I think I was the first one to – we had three Peerless bourbons to select from. I'm going to have to pour this out. And I think I was the first – we went around the table, and I was the first one to say what my favorite was. And I don't remember if it was number three, number two. Let's say it was number two. I said, well, I have number two by far is my favorite. And then the next guy over said, well, number two is my favorite. Number two. All eight people agreed.
It was unanimous.
And I heard secondhand from the Peerless folks that that was really pretty rare to have a group, especially that size, be unanimous. But there was no question.
Yeah, I've been on 15 or 20 different barrel picks, and typically there's just four to six of us, and we've never had a unanimous single barrel pick. That was first time for us, or for me, should I say.
So did you guys go with anything in mind of what you might like to see in a bourbon, or did you just try the three bourbons that they gave you and said, oh, this is the best one?
Yeah, we went with the three that they gave us. And to me, it was really no contest. Now, we're kind of a hometown bourbon club. Corky's not a member, but he might have found a real nice honey barrel in his Rick House, or had one of his people, John, find a really nice one. Mm-hmm. So we might have got some hometown umping.
A little cooking, yes. Hometown
cooking. Might have been a little hometown cooking, but it is excellent, excellent bourbon, in my opinion.
Well, I have to say, I've had this as well at one of our men's bourbon club events, and it's fantastic. But I look forward to taking another taste here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a world of difference from the J. Malley. Oh,
so much better to me, man. Yeah. More drinkable. Not just, I mean, it has enough rye in there. It has a little spice on the back end of it, but it has a little bit of sweet too, I think.
So Peerless tends to be a high, doesn't tend to be. Peerless is a high corn, lower rye, not like 5%. I'm not sure the Corky reveals his mash bill.
He doesn't.
It's probably, I'm going to guess, maybe 15 or 20% rye, and maybe more like 75 or 80%, 70, 75% corn. So, Yeah.
Okay. So
I think I'm right about that.
I thought that he set out to make a bourbon for rye drinkers, but maybe it's, no, I've got that backwards. He made a rye for bourbon drinkers. That's what it is.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Listen, Kentucky Peerless has always been great to us. Corky is a good friends with my father-in-law. They played football together, and I love Kentucky Peerless. Mm-hmm. Their bourbon, regular bourbon, off-the-shelf bourbon, is not my favorite. Their double oaked is excellent.
Double oak rye and double oak bourbon. And let me correct something I said earlier. I was talking about their bourbon being a high corn, low rye bourbon. It might very well be. I don't know. Corky has told me that the rye was a lower percentage of rye. So maybe it's 60% rye, yeah, and maybe 30% corn or something. And the words that he used was he was trying to make a rye for a bourbon lover.
There you go.
So he's not doing 95% rye. It's rye enough to be called rye, which means it's at least 51%. Yeah. But
it's without a doubt my favorite rye. And this is my favorite Kentucky Peerless bourbon that I've had. Mm-hmm. This is just really good.
So we had a limited number of bottles. I don't remember how many we got out of that barrel.
Like 150, I believe.
So, and we've got close to 100 members of our Bourbon Society here. So you couldn't buy as much as you want, but I did buy as much as was available. I think I put my hands on three bottles, immediately opened the first one. It was not going to be a trophy to me. I liked it so much I wanted to share it with friends. So I still have two that have not been cracked. At least one will be cracked. It's too good not to share with friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just classic, you know, caramel, vanilla flavor. Peerless just does so many things right.
They really do.
And they're one of only four distilleries that do sweet mash, which is a much more tedious process than a traditional mm-hmm. sour mash like most of the big guys do. So that's part of
the quality. So they have to clean all their equipment in between every batches.
Each time. Yep.
A lot more trouble. Highly computerized. They basically just did not cut corners. They had a standard. They didn't need to. Corky and Carson Taylor, his son, they made a decision that they were going to make the absolute best whiskey that they could, and they've done a fantastic job with it. The distillery tour is terrific. The bottle's beautiful. As you say, the rye is just sensational.
It's a must-do in Louisville. I think you have to go right there. Sure. Was it off 9th Street or something like 10th it Street?
Is. Downtown.
You can see it if you're coming in from the Indiana side across I-64.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's right there before you get to 9th Street exit. So
you're right
you
there.
You can't miss it. Now, this next one, I'm really interested to see where we are with Four Roses. Now, Brian, this is one of your picks from your store. Did you go on this pick?
I did.
Tell me what your experience was like.
So other than the Peerless pick that I went on, simply just because we're from Henderson, I think we got
the VIP tour, you know, one of a kind tour. But this, other than Peerless, was by far the best pick that I've ever been on.
Cool.
It was just an outstanding pick. They asked us if we wanted to do the traditional walk around the distillery, you know, and we've done that before, so we passed on that. Mm-hmm. But going through 10 different mash bills was...
You tried all 10?
All 10.
Wow.
And it was a long process. It was a fun process, but there was a lot of debate at the end whenever you have 10 products and you have six people there testing it to narrow it down to one product.
So Fort Roses is famous for having 10 different mash bills, which is...
Well, five mash bills and two yeast strands.
Yep.
10 products.
Correct.
10 products.
Doing those 10 tastings, is that all to drive you to a particular barrel?
Yes. Because they want to showcase the difference.
Okay.
Just from the different yeast strands and, you know, mash bills that they have. And it is a very noticeable difference.
Eye-opening, huh?
Yes.
So I think you bought one of those little kits that has 10 vials of the 10 variations of,
I did.
Yeast and mash bills.
Yeah. I haven't cracked it yet. Look for that on a future episode. I'll have it here with you guys, and we'll go through each mash bill and yeast strand, and you know, see what you guys think.
Oh, baby, you guys better pour some before I reach for that bottle again. That is good stuff.
Oh, I haven't even poured any yet.
Oh man, that is really good.
This store pick of Four Roses, single barrel, cask strength, just like the distillers. This is
very good,
remarkable. Four Roses single barrel, always good, always dependable. Mm. But this pick is, y'all did good work.
Yeah. Well, Brian's team had on Facebook, he said, here's four bourbons that you might really like. And I went and I text Brian. I said, can you hold like one of all four of these? I'm at work. I'll be there tomorrow to get them. Cause I knew they were going to go pretty fast. And this was one that I really wanted because of my experience at Four Roses. Mm-hmm. Do you have any left?
I think we have like 15 or 20 bottles left, and that's okay. It. And so we had like 100, I think we had like 130 bottles once we got the barrel pick in. It's like $100 a bottle. So you would think that it wouldn't go that quick. Well,
yeah.
3 or 4 weeks later, we're down to, you know, 15 or 20 bottles. So yeah,
this is special.
It is.
So you may not be able to get to the Beverage Barn in Henderson, Kentucky and find Beverage Barn's store pick. But if you see Four Roses, a pick by whether it's the distiller or a store where people have put some time and effort and identified something that's really special, you might want to invest in it.
Absolutely. And I'd get the Kentucky Peerless again. Jay Mattingly, interesting. Probably not for me.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about Jay Mattingly, though, is they have a bunch of different barrels there. So this is the 95.5, I'm assuming, just because how spicy it is.
Yeah.
So there's some other recipes there that might suit your taste profile or hell. I mean, heck, this 95.5 might be, you know, your thing.
Might be exactly what you want, right?
So at Jay Mattingly's, do they have a tasting bar?
They don't have a tasting bar. It's a very unique experience. It's kind of like, I've never been there, but
it used to be three farm boys. Now it's a whiskey thief.
Okay. So based on our conversations, it's similar to that where you just thief from the barrel.
Okay.
You can do your own bottle if you wish, you know, it's about $120. So it's very similar in concept to that.
So I'm trying to get these guys on the road to go to Frankfort, Kentucky and go to what's now called Whiskey Thief. It used to be three farm boys. It's right off the interstate, but it's way out in the country. The time I took my wife there, we're driving through a farm past barns and down a gravel road, and she's saying, are we supposed to be here? But it's I've been there twice. Yeah. The owner is, as it turns out, the guy who was from Henderson, didn't know him before. Really cool experience. I like it a lot, and I think I might like Jay Mattingly experience as well, but we have got to get on the road and go to Whiskey Thief.
We do. Absolutely.
Yes. I promise you that you're going to love it.
It's been a while since we
look forward to
a road trip.
It has been.
On the road again, boys.
Well, before we get on the road again, let's do a couple of things. Let's first recognized that barrel picks are just a great way to go sometimes. I mean, I've just been really pleased with the last several that we've had. I love it when we can go to Beverage Barn and try them first. You know, usually I'm pretty happy with them, the last several ones I've had.
It's just going to be a different. It's just going to be a different experience. A place like Maker's Mark, who doesn't love Maker's Mark,
right.
You know, their whole thing is to make sure that they have a uniform product. Traditionally, now they're doing a lot of different things.
They're changing things up now.
But the traditional business model was to make sure that they had, you know, a uniform product, and you know exactly what you're getting every time. With a barrel pick, number one is probably going to be cask strength, so it might be 115, 120, 123, 126 proof, and it's probably not going to be like any other that they've ever had before. But somebody has tasted out of that barrel, and hopefully they've identified this as being something special. We're not going to blend this with some of our other barrels.
Right.
Let's go with this one right
here. They're doing it. Green River's doing it. Four Roses, that's no yellow label right there, my friend.
Indeed.
No. which I like, by the way, and probably drink more of than just about anything because that's what my father-in-law likes. But that's excellent. So keep on doing it, guys. We appreciate it. And with that said, please drink responsibly.
And don't go to topless bars.
Shit.